Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Emil Lecoux, conductor of Ghostbusters at Wolf Trip with the National Symphony Orchestra.
Yes, a longtime friend of this show. You've been calling into WTOP a bunch. I think I've even come out and done some of those pre-concert things, Q&A things and
Did.
stuff with you at Wolf Trap. And it's always a blast. It's one of my favorite, I always say it's one of my favorite things to do in the DC area in the summer. It's awesome. But before we get to these specific events, tell me about, just overview. If someone's never been to something like this, why it's so cool to see a movie that you've probably seen a million times, but you've never seen it like this on a big screen with an orchestra. Why is this just so epic and like a gotta do thing in the summer?
Yeah, well, it's well, for one thing, you get the greatest sound system in the world. You have the National Symphony Orchestra playing these scores, but you have screens on the facing the lawn and above the orchestra, bigger than any IMAX screen. It's absolutely massive. But you're able to hear the music only the way whoever the composer is imagined it in their head and how they heard it in the studio when they recorded it. There's so much special effects and sound effects and dialogue that cover, even the best of recorded scores. And so they're able to hear 85-piece orchestra playing, full out. And so you're able to hear all the music and still all the dialogue and all the special effect sounds, but this massive screen that's like hanging above my head and above the whole orchestra. And also the excitement of being at Wolf Trap. I think the best place to experience live music is outside. And especially in a beautiful national park like Wolf Trap, you're there with the trees and the birds and the smells. You can bring wine, you can bring snacks. It's like a real event.
And so this is gonna be you conducting the NSO again, and it is, yeah, it came out in 84. So yeah, it's 40th, is that right? 40th
40 years.
anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing this? Had you started going to movies yet?
I do. And it's a quirky, I mean, it's a great film. It's an iconic film now, but at the time, it was kind of a quirky film. I think they had trouble even getting it up and running because it was supposed to be done with John Belushi, but he passed away sadly. And they got a lot of SNL people and this just the getting the casting right and everything, but it's kind of a unusual genre of a spooky horror science fiction comedy, which I don't know that anyone had ever made it one before.
That's a bizarre concoction of different genres, but they pulled
It
it off.
is.
And
Well, then you
talk about the music, because it was it Elmer Bernstein, right?
Elmer Bernstein, which is so odd because he wrote the Ten Commandments, a
The
lot of great
Magnificent Seven.
The Seven, of course, kind of helped, reinvent the Western genre. And he writes this score, which is, I think he said it was the most difficult score he'd ever written because it has to go in between the comic stuff, the goofy stuff. So you have like a honky tonk piano with the tube at the bottom. It sounds kind of like a Dixieland here in New Orleans or something. And then you get the spooky atonal sort of hazy chords that kind of inform something that's evil, if it's a ghost or something in the museum coming alive or the library. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man on Columbus Circle, which is still, I actually, when I lived in New York, I'd study with Leonard Bernstein and all of his people had said, if you were serious about music, you have to move to New York City. And that was in the early 80s. So I did around the time when they made that movie. And I lived right around from Columbus Circle, which was not very nice at the time. It was kind of a little sketchy back in the old days. But I always get a kick watching that scene from Columbus Circle around the corner where I live with this ridiculous marshmallow man just coming in this sinister, threatening way. Well,
And
not
Dan
really threatening,
Aykroyd's
but still.
delivery on that is prescribed.
Oh,
Oh no,
it's
it's
brilliant.
the
It's
Stay Puft Marshmallow.
brilliant.
Oh, it's just great.
Think of
And
the
Harold
safest thing.
Ramis, rest in peace. Bill Murray, say no more. It's a classic.
The casting, and yeah, and it's funny. It's you like all the characters. It has the spooky moments. I mean, it's not spooky for kids, I don't think nowadays, but it has a very good heart.
And great point about it sort of as a new chapter for, this iconic acclaimed Elmer Bernstein. Because like you're saying, Ten Commandments and Magnificent
Just the
Seven, To
epics.
Kill a Mockingbird and Great Escape and like those like big
Yeah.
showering movies. And then like I think then like towards the late 70s, early 80s, he started doing like these broad comedies like Animal House and Airplane and Blues Brothers.
Which is
Interesting.
good. I think it was a stretch because a lot of composers, I mean, one of my favorites is Bernard Herrmann, but he kind of wrote one genre more or less. I mean, he also wrote those Ray Harryhausen, you know,
yeah,
he's in the 50s, but it basically has one sound. But somebody like John Williams and Elmer Bernstein, they can be chameleon like depending on what the movie needs. And I think I imagine he probably had a lot of fun with the score, because it's kind of like a genius's vacation to be able to do what you want.
That's great. Is there any way we can break it down at all? Like just like we did with Star Wars, like are there any individual pieces that, you know, any character themes or any, you know what I mean? Well, and we'll get to the Ray Parker Jr. at the end. That's the famous song.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of the instrumental score, are there any like sections that you could pluck out for me?
Well, let's see.
I'm sure you haven't been studying it as closely as Star Wars recently.
Well, it's much shorter. The music is much shorter than Star Wars.
Yeah.
It fits pretty much in one book, and it's maybe an hour and 20 minutes of music, I think, at the most. And there's, you know, decent amount of pauses. But he writes between the goofy, you know, the goofy guys putting this thing together, because they're partly fraudulent, partly, you know, well-intended, but partly just kind of scammers in a way. But they wind up doing good at the end.
Yeah.
And so you get this goofy theme with piano, usually piano and tuba, piano some strings, kind of a little goofy Dixieland tune.
Mm-hmm.
And also the heroine is a cellist. I think they wanted her to be a model in the movie, but she decides she wanted to be, the name escapes me, the actress. It's
Sigourney Weaver
from Alien. Yeah. And that all these actresses actually wanted to play.
And Rick Moranis. There's a deep cast.
Moranis is brilliant. Yeah. He's so good. And so she's a cellist, very serious. And so you hear when she's on screen, you do hear a lot of kind of more classical sounding music, because she's very earnest and not a wild type character like some of the guys are. And I think that's what makes it funny when she becomes Zool, because like Zool is like this crazy,
yeah,
I don't know, rapacious thing. Rick Moranis, who's this totally nerdy neighbor who's trying to get her to come to his party and, you know, to flirt with her, and then he becomes the gatekeeper.
Exactly.
And she's Zool, so you get this crazy atonal, scary sort of sounds like parts of this the atonal parts of 2001.
Yeah.
And but in a cartoonish way, because it has a good heart to it as well. And then the end, of course, the famous tune, which I think the audience will probably sing along. They added the orchestra on top of the song, so we play with it like an orchestration that you do with a pop performer. So I think originally it was just with the band.
So they play the, who are you going to call, Ghostbusters, the actual song from the soundtrack,
and you play the score
on top of it.
And we accompany it, yeah. So okay. That'll be fun.
That's got to be really fun to accompany that.
Yeah, I've never done that before, so it'll be a first.
That'll be a treat. Oh, well, there you go. All right. You want everyone dress up as your favorite characters, whatever you got to do. And if someone asks if you're a god, you say yes.
There is no Jason. There is only Zool.
Who says the line I just said? Is that Winston? I think it's Ernie Hudson, I think. Oh. Anyway, at the end. Yeah.
At the end, yes.
It's the fourth. Yeah. He's the fourth one at that point.
Yes,
I think he says that line. But it's a classic. Come on, everyone go out and have a good time. A little
special effects still work. I think it went a little over budget because they didn't know how to actually make the animation and the, you know, all the things that come alive, because they didn't have the computer graphics like we have now.
Right.
But it works really well. It's super entertaining and everyone will love it. It's a good family film too. It really is.
Yeah, directed by Ivan Reitman. He just died a couple years ago. Son Jason Reitman made Juno and all those movies. So.
But
it's a classic. Everyone's gotta see it.
Music's great. It's a great place. Great story, and it's fun.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I have more than enough. Anything you wanna say before we go? How about just invite everyone? Just say hey, DC area, Virginia, come on out. You're gonna have fun.
Everyone in the DC area, come to Wolf Trap. It's the best place to hear music, to have a great time. Bring a snack, bring wine, bring your friends, and enjoy movies the way they're meant to be seen and heard live with the National Symphony Orchestra.
Awesome. Hey, I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So good to see you again.
Of course.
Be well. Right. Take care.
Be well. See ya. Bye.
Bye.